chest motherfucking podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Sangreed, it's your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Chest motherfucking podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
We had this thing where we wanted to represent ourselves lyrically out of Miami on some hip-hop shit. Okay.
I just wanted to see him face to face and let him know. You heard me, Slime? Stop playing with me.
I pulled a Nori move. I said, yo, look, nigga, you know, let's do this, shit.
So he took control over all the studios in Electric Lady so that the Warner Brother people could be listening to all these different tracks.
What I appreciate, growing up in Florida, especially Miami, we respected every area code when it comes to music.
All of the windows was broken, the doors ripped off the hinges. So I'm outside waiting, and this nigga sticks his head out of one of the broken windows, which is, I was like, yo, nigga, if you move, you gonna cut yourself.
I feel like the hip hop scene in Philly was created off of what we thought it was in New York.
Fucking production value on Drink Champs, baby. These niggas got a budget. I heard the news.
Wait.
And then niggas, I just want to get money with my niggas.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And it's Miller Tame and Crazy Wall. Crazy Girl.
Crazy
Drink Champ.
What the fuck?
Hey, y'all done stepped y'all little game up.
It's a little different from that.
Last time I was in a little uncomfortable ass chair.
And one camera.
Yeah, one camera.
You're on a stool.
I remember y'all telling the video man, all right, you ready? Come on, let's go. Now they talking about slate.
Yeah, slate.
I need to be like, I want to be like y'all.
Yeah, man. Well, make some noise for us.
Let's beat them for us. What's the name of the award?
The National Film and Television Award.
But in true Drink Champs fashion, we send one of our friends to go pick up the award. We don't think we're going to win, by the way, we're against Indigenerous. We're against a Saturday Night Live. So we didn't think we were going to win. So we sent our homie.
Jimmy Kimmel,
yeah. We was against. And our homie, Trevor Noah, and our homie actually goes there, gets the award. And in true Drink Champs fashion, he breaks the award getting into his Uber.
So he sent the award to us.
This is true Drink Champs shit right here, red man. Look, no, it's not good shit. We ain't finished shit.
Here's one part of it. Here's the part that says National Film and TV Award.
This nigga broke our award, red man.
I got it.
Who is it?
Prince.
Prince!
Rest in peace, Prince.
As soon as you said Prince, everything got purple to me right here. I'm fucked up right
it's
now.
It's purple.
Yeah, it's all
purple.
Because I felt like he answered, like, hello.
Yo, it ain't Michael Jackson, it's Prince.
Yo, both niggas, nigga, same nigga.
Prince shit about? Was low, like, hello.
Oh, he said
deep voice? I saw him.
Okay.
Because he came to my I Am album release party. And, you know, Prince is Prince.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Was he flowing?
He was.
Okay.
He was.
Okay.
He was. And he had this bad joint with him. And I was like, yo.
Was it the chick from The Last Dragon?
It was one of them. And I, I just, you know, I said it. I pulled a Nori move. I said, yo, look, man, you know, let's do this. Let's do this song. And he was like, you know, do you own your masters?
So when we get to the session, the session is set in stone. But when I get there, like, Quest is telling me, like, yo, I'm sorry. I'm like, sorry about what? Like, yo, the session is still going, but, you know, the God is here. I'm like, oh, what do you mean the God? He's like, Prince is here. At the time, Prince was in the studio, and he was playing this new album for Warners. Now, this is, I guess, after the whole slave thing. I think he was back on track with Warner Brothers, and he had this new album that he had.
He was just assigned.
So he took control over all the studios in Electric Lady so that the Warner Brother people could be listening to all these different tracks. I'm a Prince fan, but as a man, I was fucking pissed.
Hold on. Basically, you're saying Prince kicked you out the studio.
Yeah, I was in my fucking studio.
Everybody had a cousin that was from the Bronx, which everybody probably lied.
Right, cousin was
with Flash or Hurt. Right. But it was just like you would get these tapes. There would be 100 generation tapes of T-Connection and The Fever. Mm-hmm. And you would basically imagine what these parties were like. You know, to me, it was thousands of people in these parties. Right. And there was massive sound systems. And those parties could have been in a room like this.
Right.
But it was just what you got and what you imagined. But that was it. You know, I feel like the hip hop scene in Philly was created off of what we thought it was in New York.
Mm. I was going doing interviews for my first and second album. The only two records from the South were getting played on the radio was Juvenile Hun record. Huh?
And You Don't Know Now, nigga.
You Don't Know Now and Master P Make Him Say And I think I think the baddest thing ever came out of New York, no disrespect to Biggie or Jay-Z, they better never forget DMX. They better not never forget DMX.
So Dr. Zeus, Chad Elliott goes, yo, you like that, all that hip hop, you know, cause I'm hip hop. Like, I can't help it. I love hip hop. And he identified it. He said, you should fuck with these guys up in Yonkers named Rough Riders.
I hadn't heard of them yet.
No, he said, when we get off the tour, I'm gonna plug you with Y and this rapper nigga named DMX.
All right.
So he does that. I go up to fucking Yonkers to meet them. Uh-huh. The first time I met X, he was in a fucked up project. I don't know if it was called Slow Burn or whatever them projects up they called, but they was more fucked up. Like when I went up there, it was different from like Left Rack or whatever. It was like, it felt like a country
like project. A totally different place.
Like they're
that's
fucked
how
up.
Yonkers, yeah.
And you
yeah.
stay here, niggas, and don't move.
Right.
So all of the windows was broken, the doors ripped off the hinges. So I'm outside waiting, and this nigga sticks his head out of one of the broken windows, which was, I was like, yo, nigga, if you move, you gonna cut yourself.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm waiting, sitting there waiting, and you just see X, what up, dog? I'll be out in a second. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on, right?
And then glass.
He could cut himself easily. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I met him, and why? And they bought me an MPC 60 and was like, you know, produce.
I just had some shit on my chest.
Okay.
Really with Charlamagne.
Okay. God damn you, Charlamagne. Yeah. Go
ahead. I just wanted to see him face to face and let him know. Mm. You heard me, Slime? Stop playing with me.
All right.
Respect me. You disrespecting my name. You playing with me up here.
Right. Put some respect on his name. We got respect on your name over here. We want you to know that. God damn, we got some respect on his name over here. God damn, it's big tip. So, did you know that was the most viewed, like, 2 minutes in the internet?
Do you know how viral that went?
Yeah, that was viral. Like, and I could tell you was trying to keep your composure.
You know, nigga ain't trying to, like, you hear me? Nigga, I have a nigga behind the wall.
Right. But you haven't talked to the media since. That's real shit. You sat down with us, man.
I try not to, but you know, you a different culture, bro.
You, thank you.
Man, your
I'm
respect
off the culture,
for
God damn it. Queens was having a hard time, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Nas came out with Illmatic, for those couple of years, it was like, it was cool because people, it was like we proved ourselves.
Listen, this is all new news to me. I ain't know I had to get a co-signer. I've been telling niggas for years, yeah, I just, you know, got signed because I was dope.
If this white man offered me $1 million, he don't know me. How much you think I'm worth?
Yeah. Right.
So in order for rap or hip-hop to grow, it had to grow outside of its immediate base, right? And for it to get that big, it's now all-inclusive.
So when you first heard hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling.
Hot. Flattered.
I get this van, this piece of crap, junky old van, a 15 passenger. And I start running up and down Guy Arbrough, Merrick Boulevard, and Rockaway, picking up people for
dollar van.
I was a dollar van.
Nah, you wasn't no dollar van driver.
KRS is a leader. He's one of my favorite rappers ever. Yeah. So when I was putting out Illmatic, it was like almost to show KRS-One. It was almost part of my drive because I had to because of what he had done. Right. So I had to. It was part of it. Was like, yo, look, KRS, we here. So, you know, he's one of my favorites ever.
But never mind saying that it changed the course of Queens or whatever. It changed the course of hip hop. Period.
Yes.
Like, did you even imagine that you would just change like the evolution of hip hop? Because it changed. It was a new era in hip hop when Illmatic came out lyrically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had Rakim and we had lyrics, but it felt different after Illmatic.
I feel you. It was like I had to represent. It was like Nori said, the pressure was on the borough and my project. So it was like, and then just getting in the game, you had to have something to say. So okay. I definitely had to push the pen hard because if not, it would have never flew.
They offered me a deal with Jimmy Iovine. It was $1 million deal.
Wow. Because you was already moving
records.
Was that
Interscope already?
Yeah.
This is the beginning of Interscope.
That was the beginning. They had Shug and Puff.
Right.
Wow.
At that time, they said, if you sign this deal with us, then we'll have the South, we'll have the streets.
Wow.
And I was in there with C, me and C, you know. C was like, take the $1 million.
I mean, you say C, you talking about C Murray?
Yeah, okay. My brother.
Okay.
Say, take the $1 million. I say, nah, man, I'm going to go get some lunch. I told Jimmy Iovine, I'm going to go get some lunch. I come back. He said, if you don't come back, you'll never get a deal in this town. So I left. Me and C on the plane, about to fight. We on Southwest Airlines. I was curious.
What did you eat for lunch? What did you eat for lunch?
Peanuts and a Coke.
Oh,
that's what I had. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm next to C, and he mad because he won't take the money. Let's go take over the price. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro. If this white man offered me $1 million, he don't know me. How much you think I'm worth?
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
And that's when we
just got quiet and said, man, let's go on back to the project and do what we got to do.
Wow.
And I just started selling CDs out the trunk of my car.
We want you to do MTV Cribs. Right. I was like, all right, cool. They say, yo, we got a house that we would like to put you in. I was like, oh, word? And I had to think about that shit. Yeah. My brand was on the line.
Another time, how many gold albums you have at this time?
I think I had like four.
Oh my God.
Four gold albums. Yeah. But just in the midst of that decision, I had to make a real executive decision on that answer. And I said, you know what? No, I don't want to rent a house. I want y'all to come to my house. Uh-huh. And they ain't have no idea where the fuck they was coming to.
Now, where was this house at?
This house was in Staten Island.
Okay.
And see, what happened was...
I swore it was in Newark.
No. This was like a real estate project I was doing and shit. Okay. So this was like my first little real estate shit. I was like, oh, I'm going to fix this. So, but I ended up staying in the shit because I had nowhere to go. So, growing up, no, true story and shit.
That's a very risky real estate project.
Yeah. I ended up living there. I had nowhere to go. So, So these motherfuckers showed up like a half hour early trying to be all cocky and shit at my door, you know, half hour early. And they came in my shit. They was like, damn, this is where you staying at for real? I was like, yeah, this is where we shooting at for real.
What is your stance on a culture vulture?
I never really thought about it. I hear the word thrown around a lot, but I never really gave it thought or what it meant or this and that. Truthfully, you know what I mean? There's so many people have different definitions for it.
Right.
I mean, I don't really look at it or say this person is a part of stealing the culture or doing this to the culture, this and that. To me, the culture is a mash culture right now.
Right.
So in order for rap or hip hop to grow, it had to grow outside of its immediate base. Mm.
right? And for it to get that big, it's now all-inclusive, right? There's skating, right, basketball, there's soccer. Like, everybody listens to the music. Mm-hmm. That's why it grew so big. So to me, it's just mass culture right now. So if somebody's taking advantage, I don't think it's a color thing. It could be a black person or a white person, if that's the case, to say if they're a culture vulture or not.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think about that word, E?
I agree with what he's saying. I think it's just complicated. Like, it just, who determines who is the culture vulture?
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you'd have to go into that person's history, where they come from. You don't know what their life entails that makes them a part of the culture or not.
Right. That's true. I mean, it's true.
What you think, Nori?
I have no idea, to tell you the truth, because if a person comes from outside of our culture, quote unquote, and is just as dedicated as me, then I gotta show them some love. Like, if a person kind of made me, you know, I don't want to say, because I don't want to like selfish myself out and say like, well, if a person made me a certain amount of money or put me in a position, then, you know, how could he be a culture vulture? I don't really get it. I don't really know. You know what I mean? So I try to, but I'm trying to be enlightened, like to even
maybe people have to differentiate business and culture,
right?
And that's where it gets muddy.
Because if that's the case, you could be from reggaeton and coming and doing hip hop, and that's considered, right, you know, being a culture vulture, right?
Exactly.
It's a Gap commercial.
It's a Gap
clearly
commercial.
For Gap.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
But LL is rocking a goddamn FUBU hat.
That's right.
Is that the first like time?
And he said in it, for us, by us, yeah, on the low.
Mmm. Yeah. So was that the first time like FUBU got national recognition?
We had already had a little bit of national recognition because I think a couple of people had worn it on their video sets.
Their videos.
Miss Jones. Oh.
You said
ODB.
Who? Miss Jones, you said?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jones, okay, okay. ODB. Mm. Who else? Method Man and a couple of people had already worn it. Brand Nubian. Uh-huh. So they had already worn it in the ice cream video and right, a couple other things. And I think LL wore it in the Hey Lover video. He's sitting on the rock in Queens.
So when you first heard Hustlin', every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling.
Hot.
Flattered.
Flattered? And hot.
You said that's hot.
No, he said he's hot. I'm hot.
Oh,
he's
hot feeling, like
yeah,
me.
He's angry. He's
angry. Yeah. Okay, all right, cool.
And flattered.
And flatter.
At the same time.
Okay.
So I don't really know how to feel about this thing.
That's dope.
So I get on the phone and I start calling people, and who know this dude?
Right.
You know, because I still got my music. You know, I found Alcoholics while I was in prison.
Right. Wait, the group The Alcoholics?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm the reason why Alcoholics got signed.
Wait, hold on. What the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Your name is spelled backwards as Yogurt?
Yeah, Yogurt.
Okay. How did you come up with that? What is...
Well, Pa started
you
that.
You really like yogurt?
Yeah. I was ODing. Okay. But Pa started the backwards thing.
Okay, how did you start that?
Love this name called Sop Sound. As a DJ, like I just want, you know, my mother was from the country, Waynesboro, Georgia. She always would say in my house, you know, you better like eat up everything on your plate, like take that bread and sop up the syrup.
Oh.
So Sop Sound was like I was a DJ who could blend all these sounds and sop up all these sounds to DJ. So when I started back towards trying to be an MC, I just turned everything backwards. Pos, Sop became Pos. You know,
wow.
Sound became Danuka. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
sure.
God damn it.
I said it was gonna be no limit to my success. I named myself Master P because I'm a master of what I do.
But what's the difference between like Freeway taking a name and Rick Ross taking a name? Because between them both, they got both of you.
Yeah, they got the whole of you.
And you know they're not the only ones. We got Rich out of Kansas City, Freeway Rich.
Oh no,
you
I didn't
Rich?
Know that.
You ain't never heard of Rich?
Damn, I told that one went over my head.
Rich is hard.
Okay.
He's more like Kansas City, St. Right. Louis,
okay,
the Bay Area.
Okay, I think I did.
Hard.
Well, okay.
Hard. I'll go to Kansas City, he set it out for me.
But
that's the difference.
Freeway.
They set it out for you.
Okay.
What was your first rap name?
ICE.
My first rap name was MC Yahoo with the ball to beam. Not good. Not good.
No, but neither was ICE. Come on, man.
What did you say your name?
What did it stand for?
ICE.
ICE.
Yeah.
Just ice?
ICE. Yeah. Told you had us in New York. We didn't know what the fuck we was talking about. You know, man.
Let me tell you a story about New York.
The diggy diggy duck, yo.
Yeah. Out like a light switch. Like a light switch.
The ice cream, yeah. Man.
Nobody let me know who do the Puff Dance
to
perfection.
Who cast ad was like Stephen Marbury? Who in the club without a weapon? Suit at your feet, make you do the Puff Dance to perfection.
I got it made.
Special ed, like,
I got it made. How I got it made start out? Dun,
dun, dun. I'm your idol. Your highest title.
Numero uno. I'm not a Puerto Rican, but I'm speaking so that you know. So understand I got the gift, the speech, so it's the blessing. The lesson of the lesson I teach. You want me to tell you my first rap?
Yeah.
I said, when I was six, I don't give a fuck. Because when I was six, I did a stick up in my Tonka truck. But yeah, that's one of my first
raps. My shit was called Down With Me.
Okay.
Down with me is what you need to be. Chilling and cooling. If not, you just history. Lyric expressionist. Because I'm the best at this. I pull you over and then I blow you a kiss.
You blow shit away. It had no choice but to be the illest album because these three niggas would have been going at each other. And they would have been in that, imagine in that studio in that Swiss beat. So that Gotti, that beat is, and it's flamey. You know, Jay would be over in the corner, because he don't write, right? So he's on, X would be at the fucking shit, animated at the board. Ja's over there, because Ja stopped writing once he picked up the shit. He picked it up from Hove. Right. And Ja would be over there, and trust me, they would have been spitting the best bars of their lives.
I thought Ja was going through it one night. One night I was in the studio with him, he just kept going there.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What the fuck are you doing?
It's interesting to see.
I realize he's writing rhymes.
No, but listen,
he didn't tell me that.
My first experience was Jay, It's Time to Build, the Mike Geronimo record. And Jay's pissed off. Because I'm letting X, who done his verse already, he's like, and this was my whole life for the next like 5-7 years. Yo, you want X to close? Right. And at that point in hip hop, whoever closed was the guy. So I'm like, I like his energy. Peeling niggas' caps like oranges. Hit them in the head with two performances. I'm a grimy nigga, so I like my cruddy. You know what I'm saying? This nigga's, I said, yo, I like his energy on it, Jay. Yo, stop the music. You think he's better than me? Do y'all realize what I dealt with these three niggas? Stop. Hold on. Do you think he's better than me? This is Jay. And then Jay shitted on him. When you listen to It's Time to Build, fuck what the next nigga done mean up.
Rapping-wise, did you feel you was better than Andre 3000? I don't know why, but that question came up so much. Like...
I would imagine competition-wise, you guys are true MCs. You would feel you're better than the next one.
To be totally honest, I felt like we also call ourselves the X-Men. You know what I mean? So I
Goody Mob,
all of us,
or all y'all collectively.
Yeah, okay. we did a GQ photo spread as the X-Men. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And that's to say that everybody is signified by their own special and unique power.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Xavier?
Nah, Rico Wade is.
Okay,
you
know what I'm saying? All right, cool.
I made up some shit.
Okay. You just
say, I was whoever, you know what I'm saying? Like, cool. You know, but I was powerful though. Cool. You know what I'm saying?
He had some powers.
So like it wasn't that kind of competition. We felt like we were supporting each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was a real family vibe. Me and Dre go all the way back to the third grade, man. Like a few of us know each other longer. Like that's probably one of the longer relationships in the entire Dungeon family. But then again, I grew up with Timo. He lived over a street over from me. You know what I'm saying? Like he's 3 years older than me, but you know, he graduated with my sister. So I had always seen him, you know, all my whole life.
Wow.
You know, but man, like it was never that kind of competition. But, you know, I will say this for the record, Killer Mike, since we mentioned him, and he's a real great MC in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? A lot of people's opinions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great person all around.
Absolutely.
But he said in the GQ interview that he thought I was the best out of the Dungeon family. Did you know that, KP?
I heard that.
Yeah, he said that. So that's him. Y'all probably at the interview and ask him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never thought like that. I just, when I think about family, when I think about crew, I just come to play my position. You know what I'm saying? Like, and play to my strength. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just here to be a soldier for it. That's it. So
oh, here's Tennessee. Where's Tennessee? Yes.
But it's the same thing as the in-store, goddammit. I just seen you popping and I still jumped. But
that
it's
shit right behind your head, too.
And we just stuck with it. Kept it pimping.
Woo, goddammit, goddammit. Yo, you still don't know how to open up champagne, brother. So, goddamn, I don't know where to start. I told you, goddamn. Just a red man. Anyway,
hold on, hold on, wait a minute. So I'm supposed to take a, don't.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to take a drink, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to take a drink. Take a sip at least.
Right, hold on, let me pray about this. Because I ain't taking a drink in a long time, man.
Champagne, it's cool, it's cool. Okay. It's champagne, champagne. Okay.
Dude, I do this for my nigga.
All right, that's right. Salute. Salute, man. It's a red man. This is what we're gonna do today. We are celebrating Trick Daddy. Goddamn, you can't. Okay. Come on. Salute. Salute. Woo! That didn't taste like eating booty at all.
Oh, man. How did you escape the Tiger Bone shot?
Okay, salute.
All right, there it is.
Salute. Bong, bong. The day I saw, motherfucker.
Woo. Terrible, man.
You're a legend.
Thank you.
We mean so much to hip hop. We want to tell you to your face.
I'm drinking.
So salute. This that watermelon.
It's so
a rock. You know what I'm saying? Salute. To your face.
Acha Maya.
As always, the conversations was always good. The moments were always cool.
Should we make some noise for that?
Like a week later, Snoop called me, he's like, hey, nephew, you know we using that as a single.
I put it against Ill & Out Scratch. Well, we didn't know who Jay was at the time. I just put it up.
If the deal had went right, I would have been on Endgame.
Anybody I ever put in a movie or anybody
you
I ever
put in a movie,
hold on, you just flawed.
I ain't gonna lie. Mm. Like every other day you in like Vegas or somewhere, like you have a platinum agent? Or is that your hits?
No, you gotta relax.
I gotta relax.
Yeah. So Goody Mob was kind of really a collective.
It was a collective. Mm-hmm. So like it was such a strong entity and a strong presence and namesake in the city that, you know what I mean, like it was natural for everybody to kind of assume it, you know what I mean, like because of the association.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and everybody was kind of coming from different places. You know what I mean? Andre and Twan, like, right. You know, Antoine is Big Boy's real name.
Okay,
you know, right. We went to school there. So let me try to just pace myself. I'm excited to be here.
No,
we're excited to have you.
Hey, yo, listen, you one of my favorite artists.
Hey, yo.
One of my favorite artists.
No, you know, and to me, that's dope.
Yeah.
And that's coming from a legend. You know, that's dope.
Thank you.
And to me, that's the entire purpose of it. Mm. Because if you're not going to be here to do some great things, why even be here?
Right. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be somebody that's just kicking it and cool with niggas and getting beats to do shit, just chill. Just sit back, fall back, go hang out at Checker Burgers and sell some wings and some shit like that.
And he did a plug.
Why not?
It's not, please, is this?
Absolutely.
Okay, continue.
And so.
I didn't give a point. As you said it, it came in my mind.
Jay, please.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, a couple minutes later, Dre called me. He tell me, you know, he had Echo Sound. You want to come through, you know, see what you got?
Mm.
I think the phone was still in the air when I was already out the door, man. A cartoon shot was already moving.
Right.
And so I ended up going to the studio. It took me about 15 minutes to write that.
Mm.
And then I laid it, and then I shook his hand, and I thanked him for the opportunity.
Mm.
I didn't ask for who I should send the invoice to. I didn't ask, you know, what the publishing is. I didn't ask what the split. I didn't give a fuck. Right. Thank you, Dr. Dre. Right. I appreciate it.
And you knew it was for his album?
Yeah, he said it was for Top Dog.
Okay.
Yeah, this for Snoop's album.
Mm.
Thank you for the opportunity. Right. Boom. Like a week later, you know, a couple weeks later, Snoop called me. He's like, hey, nephew, you know we using that as a single. I was like, oh, shit. Then I was like, my life is about to change.
Hit 'Em Up comes out.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dog Pound comes to New York,
mm-hmm.
right?
And there's this rumor that Biggie Smalls called the radio station.
No, that's not a rumor. That's actually true.
It's just no one has proof of this.
Oh, it's on the internet somewhere for sure. It has to be.
And this was on your show, correct?
It was actually, I was at that time I used to run Flex's board, so I would be in the studio with Flex, but it really was Flex's show.
You know, the reason why this phone call is important is because this is actually the first time we get to see Big stand up for something. Like, for most of the part,
have you ever had Snoop on?
I've had Snoop on.
Snoop remembers all of this like word for word. Snoop and I have had many conversations about this because I always thought
Snoop. We didn't dissect it like that.
Okay. Because I always thought Snoop, you know, Snoop and I had a little weird thing because.
Because that's when they were doing New York, the video.
Yes.
Right.
So Snoop remembers all of that very clearly. He remembers the big call. He remembers old people ran down here.
But describe that to us for people who don't know because so Big just calls Funk Flex.
Yeah, he was on the, but people have to realize, it wasn't like he called him to tell him about the, you know, Big would often call into the radio, you know, so that night it was like, yo, they shooting this video in Brooklyn, like, Brooklyn stand up, it was something to that
Red
effect.
Hook.
It was like, but that was it, it was like a Brooklyn stand up.
It was a sign, it was.
That's what Snoop says. Snoop says, that's very clear, there's nothing unclear about that direction.
No, I'm with Snoop.
It is kind of.
And then it got shot up.
Oh, Nashville. They said, nigga, Big Nas, shit.
That was the talk. So, that was the talk. I couldn't believe he said it. So,
it's over the album cover, right?
The album cover.
Because Biggie,
I had a picture of Young Me on the cover, and then Notorious B.I.G., rest in peace, had a picture of a baby that was going to be him, supposed to be him. So, of course, people start comparing, because they was comparing us anyway.
Right.
So then the album cover came, and it was like, oh. So Ghost said it. I said, it's straight blood sport out here. It's war.
Oh, when Ghost said it, he said.
Absolutely. Okay. When Ghost said that shit on a Raze tape, oh, that was crazy. That was crazy, man, because it was something after that. I think Puff, Big called me.
You've never heard this story, Nas.
Yeah, Big called me, and he's like, yo, you fucking with them woo niggas? You knew they said that shit? And he's like, yo, that's how you feel away, bro, because me and him was tight.
Right.
So we, you know, I was like, yo, I mean, that's Ghost.
Right.
Ghost face is Ghost face. It's no love lost. I didn't know he was going to say this shit. Mm. And he was a little disappointed because he wasn't trying to bite off my shit. No, just in general, because he wasn't coming at it like that. Because if you listen to his album, he rap from, he tell a whole story and shit. So I didn't look at it like that. It was just competition at that time. So at that time, I was like, I was riding with that a little bit because it was competition. So it was just one for me.
Like you said, it was an exclusive spot to be at. And like definitely, me and Biggie definitely kicked it out there plenty of times. Wow. Like Biggie used to be out there all the times. And I used to know when he was out there because if I pulled up and it was like champagne bottles lined up, he was up there.
Okay.
Top three ever. You know, to me, he's in, you know, you got Richard, Eddie, and Damon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Red Fox. Aren't you named after Red Fox? Isn't your middle name?
No, Lamar.
You make me better. Mm-hmm. That was Hov's record?
Yeah, I think they made it for Hov, but I think it was too girly for Hov.
So he Hov makes some girly records now.
Here's another sneaky thing behind that shit, though.
All right, cool. I'm getting it out today. Let's go.
Eve had the record.
No, damn.
Yeah, Timbaland made the joint, and she had a whole different record.
She had spit already on it?
I'm trying to figure Make Me Better for Eve. I'm not sure if that fit for her. It wasn't Make Me Better.
It was Make Me Better.
Get out of here. Same
it book? Wasn't with the hook and all. She had a whole nother song. She had the beat from Timbaland, and she made a whole different song to it. So when we about to put it out, we found Timbaland like, hold up. I think I gave that beat to Eve, or Eve got. We like what? So we hit Eve up, but she was cool. She said, she said truthfully, like it was a single for us. This is a go.
Yeah.
But for her, she said it was like an album cut. She didn't really know, and she just, you know, we went to dinner, and she was like, yeah, y'all can have a record, and It's all good.
Segregation. I don't like it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The right. old hip hop, the new hip hop. Yo, we like our old shit. You know, we Illmatic niggas. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I got a little baby album.
Right, but like the young generation is XXX and these like that, but we should all be together. Yeah. We can like one music, a different era of music more than the other.
Yeah.
But I love the young niggas shit.
It's not that, Gotti. It's not that. I gotta interrupt you. I think the younger dudes think that we're corny.
No.
I'm just being honest.
The younger dudes think that we're corny because we don't fuck with them and we don't think they could spit or we don't think they... It's just a division. And
it
you,
is.
Mr. Fucking Drink Champs,
it is.
You could help fuck with them.
I think there's a level of hip-hop that does not belong to hip-hop.
I believe you.
And believe
you. Like subgenre type stuff?
You know what? I don't believe that a lot of the commercial hip hop that's on the radio is 100% picked by the fans.
A certain label, which is Tommy Boy Records, which I was signed to at one point as well. And I've made how I stand. I said, fuck Tommy Boy, them niggas just suck. It was very elegant. Yeah. It was a very elegant statement for what it's
very
worth.
Articulate.
Very articulate. I thought so myself. But when I heard that the fact that they wanted to take your catalog and redistribute it at a rate of 10%, and that 10% would be split between the three of y'all?
Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely. He presented an option. The option we spoke about that we felt was unfavorable. It was either we do this, if we didn't respond at a certain time, then he would resort back to original contracts, which was contracts we signed from day one.
Wow.
So we responded. We responded in saying that, you know, we responded like we were supposed
to. In kind.
Yeah. So it was supposed to then go from there, but we didn't really get any communication going until the final hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
No one gave a shit about hip hop until they realized that hip hop was making money. When we boycotted the Grammys, it was because you wanted to put it on television or you wanted to exploit it on television, but you didn't want to show the category. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hip hop was arguably, and I want to say this might have been 88, arguably the top three music genre in the world. If you got nine country and western categories that you're televising, then you're going to televise one of these hip hop categories. Because on a scale, it should be up there. Every hip hop category in should be up there based off of the level of the music. And so for them to kind of disrespect it, and this was at a point in time that you had radio and talk show hosts that were blatantly saying hip hop is a fad, it's gonna die.
Yeah.
So you're
saying
that
88 y'all got together and y'all boycotted the Grammys.
We boycotted
y'all did that first before Dame and them, right? Huh? I know Dame and them did it after, but this is 88. So can you describe us that
moment, please? You know, we got together, Salt and Pepper, everybody who was nominated, and we were just like, we're not going. We're gonna go to all of the functions and we're gonna talk about why we're not going. Because they, not only were we nominated, but they wanted me and Will to perform.
Wow.
So we were like, nah. And understand at that time saying no, you don't know if this is the kiss of death. Like, are you in a position to say no?
That
they're just gonna say, you know, but everybody kind of band together. And that's why, you know, hip hop has kind of, for a while, kind of gotten to be a staple in the Grammys.
I'm gonna fast forward.
That's what I'm about
to ask. Redman. Okay. One of my best friends is rising over Redman's sister.
Okay.
So Red was my boyfriend when I was in the ninth grade.
Yes. We had Faith on the show.
Oh, yes.
And Faith. She said y'all dated. You were her first, like, official boyfriend.
Well, did he say boyfriend or friend?
She said boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, me and Faith dated early.
She said you was a drummer in the church.
Yeah. She sung in the church, too. You know what's funny? Faith was the first woman, I never said this to. Faith was the first woman my mother caught us in the bed with. Word is mom.
She tells all that.
I wasn't.
I wasn't ready.
Yo, she was the first woman my mother caught us with. My mother came in that room. She was like, get your motherfucking asses up out my goddamn room. And, yo, but that was my love, though. Right. That was an early age. That was way before.
And y'all was both light skinned, too. So yo, that was on, like, that was like.
Legalized, like, certain, like how they got common law marriages. Mm-hmm. Like the side nigga.
You want to legalize being
like,
a side
yeah,
nigga?
I'm your side nigga. Like, if I catch you cheating, yeah. I'ma step to your nigga and be like, hey, check it out. I girl tripping. Like, I girl tripping. I know you been paying the bills.
Yeah, I had to.
And I been making sure she had money in her pocket. And when you be busy with your other girl, I be there for her. And now she with another dude. Like, no, I'm your side. You need to listen to your side nigga and your husband. We got the we good. We need to have some type of say-so in this.
What exactly went wrong for you and Ashanti? I got chastity. I got
Ashanti.
I need to hear this. We've never heard this.
It's a real thing.
Meaning, because y'all, because you.
We were together.
You know, let me tell you something before we continue.
You know, and I said this to BJ, right? I told BJ, I said, yo, what the fuck she want me to say? She want me to lie? Like, because she'll get on here and.
I don't know what
she'll get on here and she'll probably. Listen, she'll get on here and if you had her on Drink Champs or whatever, she'll probably be like, I never fuck with Gotti. And she'll. I'm not gonna do that. I'm like, but I'm gonna give it to you real. Like, me and her, dare I say, was in love. Mm-hmm. What would you call a situation where.
But was it complicated because of the CEO thing?
Absolutely, it was complicated. What the fuck you talking about?
So, Ross, let me ask you. So, at one point, Foxy Brown was like your lady.
Yeah, we were kicking it. Yeah, we were kicking it one time. Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah, yeah.
So was that like you was gonna move forward or no?
We most definitely were kicking it. You know, we had a good time. It's always the conversations was always good. The moments were always cool.
Should we make some noise for that? Or no? I'm not sure.
Like, come on, man. We made a culture. Mm-hmm. Niggas. The minorities. Mm-hmm. We made this culture and fucking Hov's a billionaire. Dre's a billionaire. Diddy's a billionaire. Mm. Kanye a fucking billionaire. Come on, man. I don't like the segregation. I don't like it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The old hip-hop, the new hip-hop.
I wouldn't be a boss if I wouldn't, first and foremost, give it up to the ones that came before me. Mm. That I was able to absorb some game from. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That was the Luke Skywalkers, right. You know what I mean? The Jay-Z's, the Puff Daddies, and the list go on, you know what I mean? Mm. Jay Prince's, the list goes on and on. But, you know, I took my time to get here, and I just made sure I built a true bond with the team.
I'm proud of you, my brother.
Ah, thank you.
To be honest with you, for doing what you do.
Yes.
Continue this. Let's keep building.
Yes.
You know, let's not forget about the next generation. Right. And the only way we're going to keep this going is we have to do it. It's us helping us.
Yep.
And so I'm proud of what you're doing, taking your time, bringing brothers together.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like everything happens in God's time.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And this is something that needed to happen. You know what I'm saying?
And we Sugar here. Skull Rum, goddammit. This shit is fucking me up.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Drink Champs, hosted by yours truly, DJ EFN and NORE. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials. That's at Drink Champs across all platforms, at The Real Noriega on IG, at Noriega on Twitter. Mine is at Who's Crazy on IG, at DJ EFN on Twitter. And most importantly, stay up to date with the latest releases, news, and merch by going to drinkchamps.com.